Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. I've prayed and prayed, Brother Harold, Sister Beth, but yet I don't get an answer to my prayer. I don't feel like God is hearing my prayers. There are seven, perhaps more, but today we're going to talk about seven reasons why God doesn't answer prayer. Number one, unforgiving spirit. Without question, God does not, will not answer our prayers if we have unforgiveness in our hearts. Matthew 6:14-15, Classic Amplified Bible. If you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Being bitter, offended, or unforgiven, it really isn't worth the emotional, physical, and spiritual toll it extracts from those who live that way. Forgiving others does not mean they're right and you were wrong. It simply means you're asking them to forgive you. Plus, and this is a big plus, if you don't forgive others, then you're going to hell. Just that straight. An unforgiving spirit allows us to experience a wave of joy throughout our hearts, even in the midst of adversity. And that's what we need. Malachi 5:7 in the Classic Amplified Bible.
Matthew.
Did I say what I said?
Malachi.
Yeah, Matthew. Thank you. Matthew 5:7, Classic Amplified. Blessed, happy to be envied, and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, or the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do you want to be blessed, happy, envied, spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation for the merciful? Then learn to forgive.
And I might add, honey, just if you are trying to forgive somebody or praying about forgiving somebody and you feel like I just am not as unforgiving as I need to be, know this, you're working toward it. It's not like you're saying, hey, I refuse to forgive them.
That's a very good
so
point.
So you don't need to feel condemned, because believe me, the enemy will jump on you.
That's
all
exactly
four feet,
right.
Going, oh, you're not that way. Believe me, if you're concerned about having unforgiveness, then basically I'm pretty sure you don't have it, or you're working through it.
Yeah.
Number two, breaking a vow. God doesn't like it when we break vows of any kind. Let's take a look at a few or maybe several possibilities. In Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5, in the Classic Amplified, it says, when you vow about or make a pledge to God, do not put off paying it, for God has no pleasure in fools, those who witlessly mock him. Pay what you vow. And verse 5 says, it is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. God doesn't like it when couples break the marriage vow. It hurts him. It hurts them. This is especially true when couples, like in Malachi, described in Malachi 2:14 and 16 in the Classic Amplified, it says, the Lord was witness to the covenant made at your marriage between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously and to whom you were faithless. Yet she is your companion and the wife of your covenant made by your marriage vows. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I hate divorce and marital separation, and him who covers his garment, his wife, with violence. Therefore, keep a watch upon your spirit, that it may be controlled by my spirit, that you deal not treacherously and faithlessly with your marriage mate. You know, when we make a vow to God, whether verbal or financial or whatever, God expects us to keep our vows. In Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15, Psalm 50, 14 and 15 in the Classic Amplified, it says, offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High and call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you shall honor and glorify me. Notice the progression in these two verses. First, we offer thanksgiving to God. And second, we pay our vows. Have you ever made a pledge or a vow but failed to keep it? You mean to pay your vow, but things just haven't seemed to work out. The thing is, the enemy, he doesn't want you to keep your vows because of the doors it will open. If you cannot ask forgiveness and be released from that vow.
That's exactly what you did. You're right, whoever you made a vow to and ask him to release you. Number three, dishonoring parents. There's only one commandment with promise, one where we're told if we do this, honor our parents, then we'll get this, a long life. Exodus 2012 Classic Amplified. Regard, treat with honor, do obedience and courtesy to your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land your God gives you. The Living Bible says that we will be given not just a long life, but a long, good life.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord as his representatives, for this is just and right. Honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that all may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. When we're told, well, Scripture says we're told to honor our parents, that things would be well with us. Conversely speaking, if things are not well with our parents, then things won't be well. I realize for some, honoring your parents is easier for you to do than for others. Some parents have made mistakes, and with it comes emotional baggage. But it's interesting that these verses that I've shared with you, where it says honor your mom and dad, it doesn't say if they deserve it. The Scripture says that we are to honor them no matter what.
Number four, secret sin. Have you ever come upon, and sometimes, you know, when you're searching the net, come upon something that just is, well, let me put it this way, just a nasty website by accident. And if that happens, sometimes it just layers you up. You're trying to go, get out, get out, get out, escape, escape, escape. And it's just not easy to do that. The thing of it is that just opens us up to material that we just don't want to have on our computer. And sometimes it could be even something where you, like I said, accidentally got into, but you hate to go to a tech person and go, get me out of this, you know, and even confess that you accidentally got into it. But the point of it is no matter what goes on in that kind of, in our life, God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the reasons that something has happened in our lives. And we need to confess anything that's happened that we were a part of, because the Scripture says that he will not listen to our prayers. In Psalm 66, verse 18 in the New Living Translation, it says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. We need to ask God to reveal the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Ask Jesus to forgive and cleanse us from any secret sins, whether they're mental, physical, whatever that has attacked us. Maybe when we were in our youth and didn't even know who the Lord was. Proverbs 15, verse 29 in the Classic Amplified says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the consistently righteous, the upright, in right standing with him. He knows our hearts, and even though things may plague us, he forgives when we want to be forgiven. When God hears our prayers, then we know that all is well with us. but a secret sin not exposed or not brought out into the open and asked to be forgiven cannot be forgiven and forgotten. We must bring everything to the Lord.
Amen. Number five, pride. When we begin to think we're the reason for our success, instead of giving God all the glory, honor, and praise, we're headed for trouble. Proverbs 16:18, King James. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18, this time in the Message Bible. First pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with having an ego. In fact, a man without ego is not any good to anyone. However, it has to be sanctified. And I should say man or woman. Proverbs 10:17, Classic Amplified. O Lord, you heard the desire and the longing of the humble and the oppressed. You will prepare and strengthen and direct their hearts. You will cause your ear to hear. God wants us, each of us, to help, direct, nurture, and mentor. James 4:6, Classic Amplified. But he gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit, to meet this evil tendency, all of us fully. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and the haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. God wants us confident, but not prideful, focused, but not obsessive, humbled, but not boastful.
Number six, lustful motives. James 4:2-3 in the Classic Amplified says, you are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness you seek. So you fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. Or you do ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is when you get what you desire to spend it on sensual pleasures. For generations, people have thought that lust only referred to money. While that's true, the lust of the eyes, it also appeals to every area of our lives. In 1 John 2:16, in the Classic Amplified, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources, or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself.
Number seven, unbelief. Matthew 13:58, Classic Amplified. And he did not do many works of power because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in the divine mission of Jesus. When we doubt the miracle working power of God, we not only miss unique opportunities to be more, do more, and have more, we limit the power of God to move supernaturally in our lives. God does not want us living a sedentary existence, going from one event to the next, or one crisis to the next, or even one sickness to the next. Luke 17:19, Classic Amplified. He said to them, get up and go on your way. Your faith, your trust, and confidence that spring from your belief in God has restored your health. A few days ago, God really provoked my thinking with a question. He asked, are you living what you're believing? My answer was yes. But then I had the realization that I can do more than what I'm doing. I'm sure that all of us can. Think on these things on this marvelous Monday. If you've been blessed with the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. At the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed to have you sow. Do what he says, that's all we'll ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.